Good evening, listeners. Welcome to the VRO. Today is February 26, 2010. I'm KJ Mercury, co-hosting alongside Lisa Stevens tonight. We've got Amy on the line and manning the chat room under the VRO. Most of our listeners tonight know our special guest as the sexy guitar hero playing vampire Logan Griffin in Moonlight. He also played Cliff St. John and Ugly Betty and, Cliff St. Paul and Ugly Betty. I'm mixing up my characters. And his latest role, he plays genius Eli Wallace in Stargate Universe. Welcome, David.
Thanks for having me. Am I making you nervous?
Yes, you are. You're making me very nervous. Yeah. Actually, this is my first time hosting.
Aww. Yay.
Yes. They let me do it special just so I can talk to you.
Woohoo!
We got Lisa here, too.
Yeah. Hey, David.
Cool. Hi, Lisa.
So should we just jump right in?
Sure, why not? You guys, be gentle.
Okay. We'll try. We'll do our best. Okay. Okay, so our first question is, which was the most interesting or / exciting role to play? A gay man as Cliff, a vampire as Logan, or a genius as Eli?
Good question. I hate to cop out and say that they all have their own cool things. Cliff was always fun to play, just because, you know, as an actor, sometimes if you're playing a role for a while, it can kind of bleed over into your regular life. So Cliff was always such a positive influence on the world of Ugly Betty that I found that during my life I was much more upbeat and happy when I was playing him. So that was fun. And it was a privilege to be told by the fans, you know, how they really connected with the character and the relationship and the themes, and it made me proud to play the role. Logan was a lot of fun. I got kind of disappointed towards the end because they were talking about having these scenes where Logan was going to vamp out and I would get to wear the fangs and have the contacts and jump around, and it kind of unfortunately didn't get to happen, as you might have noticed.
Well, that's a big bummer. We would have liked to see that.
I know. Originally, I think in the end of the season finale, I was going to, but then they decided it would be funnier if I didn't. And then, and Eli's a blast, mainly because of the experience. You know, I'm a pop culture junkie, much like him, so it's fun to bring a little bit of myself to the role. Not a lot, but a little. And the cast is great. I've been really lucky in my career. I played some really cool characters with some really great cast and crews. I'm just waiting for that one job to pop up where I hate everyone. But as of right now, it's pretty cool.
No, but we've loved all of your characters that you've portrayed so far.
Oh, thanks for all the pressure. Now is only one way to go, down.
No, David, you can only go up.
No, I don't
think
so. Go
up
from here. Oh, okay, I'll do that. I'll just be Johnny Depp next. It'll be great.
Okay. Is David Blue your stage name, or is that really your first name?
No, that's really my name. A lot of, you know, it's funny. So many people don't believe me. I think it's because it just seems like a stage name, but that is my given name from the moment I was born.
Okay. And can I ask you, what led to your decision to become an actor, and are any of your other family members actors?
My parents used to be singers when they were in school. That's partly how they met, I believe. And then one of my older brothers did a little theater in middle school, I believe. But it's always just been something I've done. It started out as something I did in elementary school, middle school, high school, and then I started thinking about what to do for a living for college, and I couldn't decide between computer science, and then all of a sudden I was like, hey, maybe I can enjoy doing what I love to do, acting, and then also making a living at it, and decided to go to college, and I actually started out as a double major in the honors program with computer science and theater. Lasted about 3 years in that, and then dropped the computer science and just stuck with the theater. Kind of just always been something I've loved doing. And somewhere along the way, they started paying me to do it. And I was like, okay, I guess I'll keep doing it then.
So did you, like, prefer doing the computer science over the acting at one point, and then you just changed your mind? Or just one of them,
path? I'm lucky in that I'm naturally just good at computers, and I'm kind of a nerd. I'm a nerd in the sense of, you know, like in TV and movies and video games and stuff, but, you know, I've always been really good at math. I took honors calculus my freshman year of college. I've been using computers since I was, like, six.
You're bragging.
And my, I grew up with computers at my point. Like my dad, he was always working around computers because he was good at them too. So, again, it was just one of those things that I've done my whole life. You know, I ran a bulletin board system back before the internet when I was like in middle school or high school, and nobody knew I was a kid running it. It was just something I've always been good at and enjoyed doing. But, and this is no offense to anyone who does do it, because God bless them, but when it came down to deciding, I realized I could sit, in a cubicle in front of a computer doing what I'm good at and get paid probably very, very well. Or I could do the thing that really, really makes me happy and most likely be homeless within a year. But maybe I'll be lucky enough to find somebody stupid enough to pay me. And I did.
Well, then, yeah, you're lucky then.
Oh, trust me.
By the way, we love computer geeks, so I think all the ladies can agree on that.
It's great. It's something happened over the past, like, 5-6 years or so where it used to be uncool to be a computer geek, and then now it's, like, kind of like the in thing. You know, I'm friends with Zach Levi and Felicia Day and Bray Grant, and all of a sudden, if you're a nerd or a dork or anything like that, people, like, look up to you. It's like, well, this is cool. Before
yeah,
we get beat
like,
up.
We definitely like that about you.
It's cool. I like it. We're living in a good time, I think. Well, in that regard.
So now back to the acting, if I can just go back to the acting. So, like, do you enjoy working in the sci-fi world more than any other genre? Because it seems like, gravitating towards, Logan as a vampire and Eli now on Stargate, is that just something you gravitate more towards?
It seems that way, I know, but in general, I just like doing all of it. I've always been really good. I seem to get cast a lot, even in theater, in comedy. I've always had to, like, fight for the dramatic roles. And then something weird happened over the past 2 years, as you might have noticed, where I'm on The Betty, which is a comedy, I'm playing a dramatic role, and then I'm on Stargate Universe, a drama, playing a comedic role, and I suddenly find myself playing against type all of a sudden.
You just enjoy acting altogether, no matter what genre, huh?
Yeah, it's just so much fun. Now, there is something great about sci-fi, I'll admit that. There's something really cool about running around, shooting guns, lasers and explosions and techno speak. There's really cool stuff about that, especially having grown up loving Star Trek The Next Generation, Quantum Leap, all those shows. But it's just, it's a fun, fun job, and I'm sure the day will come where I'll be in a really, really bad romantic comedy that you all won't want to see, but you'll see because you want to support me. And I'm sure that'll be just as fun, too.
Yeah. So what interests you most as an actor, like doing theater, TV, or big screen? What would you like most of all?
Again, this is not me copping out, but I think I share this in common with a lot of my SGU co-stars, where because we've come from the theater, we just love it as an art form. I write, I direct, I'm getting into producing this year. If I could be like a Taye Diggs or like a Michael Emerson and do Broadway, do TV, and do film and find the time somehow, then that would be my nirvana right there.
Cool. Lisa, did you have a question?
Pardon me?
Did you have a question?
No. David,
that's it? You're out already?
David. Did you realize that you would be in almost every scene when you signed to Stargate Universe?
When we were auditioning, they actually wrote some fake sides at first, so we wouldn't see what the real script was like. And then for the screen test, we got to see the actual first three parts. So I knew that there was a lot there. I didn't know if it would continue on throughout the show. Being an ensemble drama, I always call it the tectonic plates of focus. Like if somebody will be really heavy for 3 episodes and then you won't see him for like 2, like in Lost or whatever. So I knew that would probably happen. But yeah, the first half of that season was, I used to joke with the crew because they're one of the hardest working crews you've ever met in your life. They're there like 20 hours a day. And they would come up to me and be like, geez, Dave, are you crew? Because you haven't gone home. You've been here as long as we have. But I'm weird. I'm a workaholic, like Robert Carlyle. When I'm on set 16 hours, that's a good day. I hate the days when I go in for 20 minutes and they're like, okay, you can leave. Because I sit at home, go to the gym, twiddle my thumbs, and I'm bored out of my mind.
So since you brought up Robert Carlyle, what's it like working with like such big name actors like Lou Diamond Phillips, Robert Carlyle, Ming Na? That must be really inspirational in some ways.
Yeah, totally. I have a lot of respect for these guys because a lot of them come from the theater world, and they come from having a lot of training and doing the work for the sake of doing the work, not because they want any attention or fame or anything. And those are the people that last forever in this industry. And, you know, I thought they were all going to be intimidating, and I thought I wouldn't even really talk to them very much when we first started this show. But from day one, Carlyle and I became really good friends and started hanging out. And Lou Diamond, I just went to his birthday last week. We became friends, and, you know, it's nice to be able to call these people friends and then also look up to them as actors. It makes the shooting more fun, you know. It brings more to the table and makes work much more productive.
So, of those three, who's your favorite actor to work with on the set?
Ooh, trying to stir the pot, are we? Oh, that's a hard one. You know, cop out. My favorite scenes are group scenes. I love when we're all together in a room because we are such troublemakers. We just sit around joking and laughing, and people have to throw things at us to try to get us to work. So if I can get all of us in a room together, it's always so much fun. It's kind of like a play date more than anything else in the world.
David, let me ask you this. Were you a fan of any of the previous Stargate series or movies?
Yes, I was. I loved the movie, of course. I don't know of anyone who didn't. But SG-1 and Atlantis, I've actually seen every single episode ever produced. I do have to clarify, though, and it's just because of time, the only thing I haven't seen yet is Continuum and Arc of Truth, and that's because I didn't get it until right when I got cast, and I've just been so busy, never got the chance to see it, just sitting there. But I've seen everything. It was just...
Well, SG-1 you have to see them.
I know I do. It became, you know, I was really just traveling all over the place, and I'd always meant to see those two movies. And then when I first got cast, I met with the people at MGM, and they're like, "What? You haven't seen it?" And they gave it to me. But they gave me Blu-ray. And I did not have a PS3 at the time. And then I was working 16 hours a day, and it just kind of became this dragon chasing its tail where I was like, one of these days, I'm going to see it. And then I started dating somebody who hadn't seen any Stargate. And I promised them I would wait until they finished watching all Stargates before I watched those last two movies. So it's just been kind of this annoying waiting game. But I had seen every SG-1. I loved SG-1. I just loved the characters and the story from beginning to end, especially when a friend of mine got cast on it. And then Atlantis as well was always one of those shows I would come home from work and it would be on. And next thing you know, I've seen every episode and I was coming home to watch it. And I've always loved the storytelling of it. I love McKay, you know, I love Daniel Jackson. It's always just been something that's there. It's been on for so freaking long. I feel like I've known it since birth.
I think SG-1 started 12 years ago.
it was so long. I mean, I didn't have Showtime back then, so I remember I had to catch up when it finally came on to regular cable. I had to go back and watch the repeats to get caught up.
Watch the repeats on Sci-Fi? Did you watch the repeats on Sci-Fi?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the first one that I ever saw was in college, and it was probably on some network channel, and that's where I got sucked into it. And then I went back and caught up on the cable channels with all the new stuff and the old ones as well, like Marathon Days, which they don't do nearly enough anymore.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you this. What do you think about the tone of the show being darker in this series?
I know some people like it, some people don't at first. And I got to say, I was excited when I heard. There seems to be kind of a movement towards more reality. And you can blame reality television if you want, or just that the world is this way now, where people like to feel more like they're in this world and less like they're watching, like, a presented production. And I feel like a darker tone, like a Battlestar, like a Lost, like a... you know, whatever, is kind of more realistic and brings it to a more real place. So in order to evolve and stay on television these days, I mean, you can't just keep presenting the same product over and over. People get bored of it. So they had to evolve, and they had this great idea for something new and exciting that existed in the world that they had already created, And I highly respect them for doing that and being part of it. I love it. I love the shooting style. It lends itself to really allowing us to have more freedom and do things more from a theater perspective. And on top of that, it lets us go to a darker place. Not always, but sometimes, than Stargates have done in the past. And in doing that, it welcomes a new audience to join in, helping the ratings, which will help a show stay on the air, and then also gives the old fans something new and exciting to fall into that they're not used to. And this isn't a joke. There's actually a freaking parade going down the street next to me right now. So if you hear music, I'm not at a party. I'm on the street.
Okay, so since the second half of Stargate Universe's first season hasn't aired yet, all the episodes haven't been aired, what from the first 10 episodes are you most excited about people watching, and did you have a favorite episode so far?
Only from the first 10, you say?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Do you actually hear that right now? Just curious.
Yeah, we do.
I apologize. I'm not even anywhere near it. I'm like 2 blocks away from it. It's that loud. From the first 10, I loved the episode Time. Sorry, you know what? I'm going to try to go inside right now. I apologize. I'm going to try to keep this quiet here.
Okay.
I loved the episode Time. It was just so much fun to shoot, and there was it's so, you know, as a nerd, it was so complicated and crazy and cool that it just had all these elements that I love in sci-fi. And then on top of that, if you haven't watched the Special Features yet on the Blu-ray, all the stuff from Eli's perspective, I actually shot. Yeah, well, because, you know, I'd read it in the script, and I heard that this is how it was going to be, and I said to them, can I do it? You know, it'd be great. And they said, no freaking way. And then they decided to give me one take, and they liked what I did. So I got to really experience a whole bunch of new stuff and get behind the camera on the show, and it was a fun thing to shoot, and then when I watched it, it was just quickly one of my favorites. I mean, as far as the second half, which you haven't seen yet,
don't give anything away.
I hate spoilers. I hate them. I hate people who give spoilers. I hate people who say who got cast and what. It just ruins stuff. I would never do that. But in the second half, the first few episodes, which I did not expect to be my favorites, I thought it was going to be towards the middle or the end of the second half. When I finally got the DVDs and watched them, which I did last week, the first two, especially episode 12, I was just like, oh my God, I'm in love with them. And it really made me so happy, and I can't wait for us to premiere again, because I really want to get everyone's reaction as well.
Well, I'm sure you're going to have a lot of good reactions. I mean, there actually hasn't been a lot of good reactions so far from the fans, from what I've been reading and hearing.
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, sorry. You just cut out. What was that?
I said we've been hearing a lot of good reactions from the fans so far from what I've been hearing and reading.
Yeah, it's been, you know, we've been really lucky. I know it's a hard place to start from when, you know, the timing of it works out where it looks like we're replacing something, which is really not what, as far as I know, not what we were intending anyway, let alone something that was so beloved. And it just kind of was this weird situation. So the fact that so many fans gave us a chance to watch and really stuck with us to really get to know us as characters and as a new show, it was really humbling. And on top of that we were able to meet so many new people was so cool. And I think especially in the second half of the season, episodes 11, 12, and 13 specifically, the old fans are going to flip and the new ones are going to be like, ooh, this is cool, and just really get stuck into it. So I'm excited to see the rest of the season and how it plays out, but if the fan reaction is the way it's been, I'm happy.
Mm-hmm. David, what I have a question for you is, what are your feelings regarding the SGU fans abroad, like overseas where SGU doesn't air, and like the torrent and streaming, how they obtain the show?
You know, it's a hard situation. I've spoken about it on my Twitter before and on my website. In general, I mean, I wish we all aired simultaneously all around the world, and I wish we could get to that day already. But we air in 70 or 17 countries right now. I don't even remember. So we're out there airing. So if people have it on their channel in their area, I think they need to watch it live, whether or not you're a Nielsen family. These days, there are ways to track DVR numbers, and if there aren't, in order to support a show, you should try to watch it live. I mean, I don't download anything, and the only way I can donate it, if somebody's living in a country where it's not going to air and it can't air, I can't fault them for wanting to see the show, and I only hope that when it comes out on DVD, they buy it, and when it comes out on their network, or, you know, to take the initiative and call the networks, email the networks, ask them to put the show on the air. Take the initiative to really make the difference in the world and not just kind of, you know, actually break the law to try and get it yourself. I mean, I love that people love the show that much, and I bow to them for that, and I think it's great. But in the end, it's piracy. In the end, you're doing something illegal, which is not helping the show. It's not helping the ratings, and the ratings these days, unfortunately, really do determine whether a show lasts or not. I wish they didn't, because some of my favorite shows have gotten canceled because of bad ratings. If you ask me, had so much going for them, Arrested Development, Pushing Daisies, you know, it's the way it works, you know? What are your feelings on that, guys?
Oh, boy.
I feel like the actors and the crew work hard for the money they earn, and they shouldn't be getting ripped off.
It's not even about, like, me. Like, personally, I don't see any money if you – I mean, well, you know, if the show continues, I do. But I don't see any money if you don't watch it. You know, you don't, when you torrent, you're not stealing money out of my pocket. No. However, you're contributing to the show possibly not lasting longer. Or if you download it because, you know, you don't have the cable and you're not willing to pay for the channel – that's great and all, and I understand money's hard. I mean, I've been broke most of my life, but that's not helping the show stay in the air because people making the decisions look at the ratings to determine the advertising money, to determine whether a show stays on the air. It's a broken system, but it's a system nonetheless.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Right.
Can you tell us if Eli wearing the You Are Here t-shirt was a conscious decision or if it's just something that the wardrobe department just picked out for you?
It was a little bit of both. I'll give a lot of credit to the wardrobe people because they're brilliant. We tried on a few different shirts when we were first wardrobe testing for the show, and there was one that I particularly liked, but apparently the censors had a problem with it. And I think they just kind of liked the philosophy of that shirt. They liked the idea of it. I've had many, many kitschy t-shirts throughout my life that I wear to the gym, but never one as bold as a red You Are Here shirt. Definitely something.
Does it get tired wearing that same shirt every day on the set?
I don't know what you're talking about. I love my wardrobe. Oh my god, yes. It's so annoying. I joke with them all the time, and God bless the wardrobe department for putting up with me, but I'm constantly asking them, like, come on, isn't this a perfect opportunity for Eli to borrow a t-shirt from someone else? You know, can't we find something else for me to wear other than this freaking shirt? But it's, at the same time, it's kind of funny because everyone else is, you know, military and walking around in uniforms, and I show up in a t-shirt and a hoodie, and all the ADs who've never been there before ask me to get in costumes, and I'm like, I am in costume.
Well, you got to wear the military outfit in one of the episodes.
Yeah, it was great, and everyone looked at me, and they laughed, and I'm like, what? I don't think I looked weird. I think they were so used to seeing me in the other outfit, you know?
I have to say that when I saw you in the military outfit or whatever, like the desert outfit, with the hat on, I just thought, okay, that's so Daniel Jackson right there. Like, when you first showed up on the scene, and, you know, a little out of place, slightly out of place.
You know, it's funny because we shot the stuff coming back. You know, we shoot out of order sometimes, depending on if we're in a location or what have you. And we shot kind of figuring out the end first of Air Part 3. And I decided, you know, Eli, when you wore a hat, wouldn't want to wear the hat normally. He'd want to wear it backwards. I mean, you know, it's because that's how I wear my hats. You know, I like to wear it backwards. It gets in the way. And then we get to New Mexico, where it's 117 degrees. and the sun is destroying your face, and I realize that I'm a moron and should not have put the hat on backwards, as I'm, like, getting sunburnt and my eyes are burning from the corona of the sun just embedding into my eye. And one of those moments where made me realize, oh, my little funniness actually is ruining my life.
That one kind of backfired on you, huh?
Yeah, I should have known.
A little bit. Okay, so all of us Stargate fans, all of us hardcore Stargaters, want to know, is Eli ever going to get the girl?
I get that all the time. It's funny. And my response is always, you know, if I had a choice, I would have already. In general, Canada is losing their mind right now. I don't even know what's going on. In general, I've always loved that relationship. My favorite thing about reading a pilot, there's always something that stands out to you in the script. My favorite thing about it was that when he, like, sees Chloe, he's not scared to talk to her. You know, he's not, like, this weird, awkward geek who can't even speak to a girl. He chooses to sit down next to her. He flirts with her. And it's always kind of been this instant connection between these two. Is it going to play out in the long run? I wish I knew. And trust me, I ask the producers about every 5 seconds trying to find out myself. And I'll let you guys come on that journey with me. I do love that it's kind of evolved into a really close friendship at this point. You know, they've really started respecting each other, but there definitely is a spark there, and I'm curious how long they can ignore it, and we'll have to see, won't we?
But if you got to write the script, you'd definitely have Eli getting the girl then, huh?
You know, it's funny, actually. I just, during the hiatus, I had this weird idea that jumped into my head one night, and I just started typing, and the next thing you know, it turned into a two-part episode of SGU that I, for fun, I just wrote, and I sent to the producers, and when I finished writing it, I reread it, and I said to myself, what the hell's wrong with me? I don't have Eli getting any action in the script. If I'm writing it, the least he could have is, like, you know, make out with everyone, or everyone gets injected with some sort of virus that makes them really lonely, and everyone just knocks on Eli's door. No, totally didn't write it.
That's hilarious. Okay, I'm gonna change the topic back to Moonlight again. Moonlight's become this huge cult classic. There are currently hundreds of fans out there still actively campaigning for, like, a second season still or to have a movie made. What are your feelings on that?
God bless them. It was one of the coolest experiences of my life, I think, when it got canceled, I was driving past Warner Brothers, where we used to shoot, and just seeing all the people picketing. It was so cool because it just really showed how the fans really supported the show. And, it's always been this, it was so surprising to us when we were shooting the season finale, I'll never forget, we shot for like 20 hours, it was a long day, and I went to Alex, you know, who became a friend of mine, and shook his hand, and he's like, okay, man, can't wait to see you in a couple months for season two, and it was like this, we knew we were coming back, we knew it was going to happen, and it didn't even seem like a possibility that we wouldn't, so when we found out, it was just so shocking, it just
the fans
so
were
surprising.
Definitely shocked too.
Yeah, I think everyone was. It was just like, what? Like, I knew that Eli was, or Eli, that that Logan was going to, you know, kind of expand as a character and learn more. And I was looking forward to finding out that stuff myself. And it was going to be so much fun. So it was disappointing to find it gone. But I hope, I don't know how things are going to play out, but I'd love to play Logan again. I'd love, if they ever do a movie, I would love to. I stayed friends with Alex, and we had lunch last week. Talked to him about it and ran into Jason Doering at Sundance and we chatted about it and everyone loves the characters, everyone loves the story and everyone's curious what else there is to say. So I think it's just a matter of it happening and schedules working and I don't imagine anybody wouldn't want to do it.
So if a movie happens, you're definitely going to sign on the line.
Oh, absolutely. If they're willing to work around my schedule, heck yes. I would love to do that all again.
Yay.
I don't know. And at the very least, because I think that, much like Eli, Logan deserves a little action. There needs to be a cute little female tech.
And we
want to
see Vampire too.
Yeah.
Totally. I was so excited because, you know, everyone, like, I think everyone got to keep their fangs after the show ended, and I was so excited because I was like, I'm going to get my fangs made for my teeth. And nope. They rewrote it, too. The original script, I think, said, you know, Logan jumps over something and he runs into the street, vamped out, and I was so excited. And then they did a rewrite, and I read it, and I think it said, Logan runs like somebody whose only exercise has been Guitar Hero.
Uh-huh.
I remember just reading it going,
sorry.
Oh.
Oh,
my
God.
Oh, you hadn't been disappointed over that one.
It was so sad.
Did they really word it like that?
Well,
so depressing.
Do you have a favorite episode of Moonlight?
You
said that Sonata was your favorite. Do you have one that you weren't in that is your favorite?
The finale was great. It was a long, long shooting day because we shot like in the middle of the night in a weird set, but that's when I became friends with Claudia Black. You know, we were all working together. There was action stuff. We got to watch a van flip. Like, there was just so much cool stuff involved. I think that was probably my favorite, which is why it was so disappointing when it didn't continue, because I was curious how everything was going to play out after that.
Okay.
We have some more questions from the fans. Do you have a couple more minutes to stay?
How much longer is the show?
The show's another half hour, but it's up to you.
Well, can I ask you guys a huge favor? Can I call you back in about 10-15 minutes, and then I'll take the last few questions?
Definitely, yeah.
Sure, that sounds good.
You
have our number, right?
Yeah, I will call you guys back in about 10-15.
Okay,
thanks a lot.
Okay,
thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, ladies, we have David Black.
Hello.
Hey, David.
Hey.
Hey, sorry about that. You can believe it, I was just looking at an apartment.
Well, that was quick.
Well, I probably looked rude to the owner because I was like, yeah, that's great. Show me this. Okay, cool. Gotta go.
So is it a winner or are you still looking?
I can't answer that. Well, the guy's listening.
Sorry.
No, I don't know. It's hard. Everything in Vancouver is very crazy because of the Olympics.
Yeah, I bet. So are you, like, excited to be moving to Vancouver, or are you just, like, kind of sad that you have to move, or?
You know, as much as I love the U.S., it's great up here. It's a great city, so there's definitely worse places to work. Talking to a friend of mine who does a show in Hawaii, you know, I'd love to get that gig, but Vancouver's not so bad.
Okay, yeah, we know who you're talking about. You don't have to drop names. Okay.
I have no idea what you mean.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so we have a few more questions, fan questions that have been sent in. They want to know, will you be starring in any episodes in the final season of Ugly Betty at all?
I wish I could answer that. I'd love to. I was actually just talking about this with Chris Gorm the other day. I would love to. If we can work the schedule out and if they ask me, I'll be there in a heartbeat because I love the character and the cast and the story so much. But it's really up to them if they want me. If they want me, I'll be there with bells on.
Cool.
David, can I ask you another question? Do you have a favorite behind-the-scenes story from the set of Moonlight?
From the set of Moonlight? Ooh,
no,
that's a hard one. Okay.
Sorry,
you're going to ask about
SCU.
let me think. Something fun. Okay. You're going to kill me for telling the story. Which episode was it? With the donuts? The donuts?
Fate for 10.
I love that. In that episode, we were shooting it, the first time ever, my character actually doesn't eat on freaking camera. But Sophia was eating, you know, donut after donut, and just eventually just couldn't take anymore and started spitting it out between takes. And then Alex walked in to do the same thing, walk in and take a bite of the donut. And just was like, oh, this is great. And he took a bite and he spit it out. And I kind of looked at him because he is a ridiculous physique. He just looks like a buffed-up swimmer all the time, and I hate him for it. I said, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, we're doing a beach scene tomorrow where I don't have my shirt on. I can't eat the donuts. So I almost threw my computer at him.
Oh, my God.
But he's not really like that because he's such a cool, down-to-earth guy. But, you know, he is good-looking, and it's nice to know that he cares enough to worry about it. But the fact that he thought one donut would make him look like me made me want to kill him.
Yeah, like a donut's going to matter.
Yeah. One donut and the girls don't want me to take my shirt off anymore. I don't think so.
David, if Moonlight had continued, what would you have liked to have seen happen with Logan?
What was my what? Sorry, what was that?
If Moonlight had continued, what would you have liked to see happen with Logan?
I would have liked to learn more about him, like his past, how he became a vamp, who turned him, when. Because, you know, as an actor, sometimes you kind of have to figure that stuff out for yourself to kind of figure out where your character's coming from. And you tend to not really know if those things are real. You know, if that's how you play and that's how the people like the characters, then that's fine, but then you'll get a script and find out it's completely different one day. And in my mind, I could be completely wrong, but in my mind, Logan was really old. He's been around for a while, and part of the reason he loved technology was because it wasn't around when he was made into a vamp. So I would have loved to find out if that was true. How he and Alex met and got to know each other, or how he and Mick, sorry, met and got to know each other, and kind of figure out his relationships to other people.
Right, yeah, we would have liked to see that too. About SGU, you do a lot of the blue screen or green screen or whatever. How is it like filming against that blue screen when there's nothing there to interact with, when you do the kino scenes and all that?
It's kind of cool. It goes back to the original thing of acting, you know, where it's, you kind of really do imagine. And I always joke about this, but it's true. You tend to imagine something, and then when you actually see the episode, you realize it's about a million times cooler than what you were imagining, and you kind of feel stupid, like you didn't do enough. But especially the hollow screen, it was so much cooler, and it's fun. It really does allow you to live in this imaginative world. But we're lucky in some of our production designers and set designers and set dressers, they really do surround us with a destiny. It's an amazing set. If anyone ever gets a chance to see it, it's very immersive. You know, there's four walls. It looks like it's rusting and falling apart. It really does look like we're there, and that really, really makes things more fun and helps with the imagination process.
Right. I can see that. So what was it like the first time you got to step through the famous Stargate?
I'll admit, I'm a huge nerd, and I'm a huge Stargate fan, so it was one of the coolest experiences. We were doing weapons training. I don't know if you heard this. We were doing weapons training in the shadow of the Atlantis Gate, actually. And everyone went to lunch, and I kind of made an excuse to hang back and get something out of my bag. And as soon as everyone was gone, I went up and I touched the gate. I took a picture of myself with it. And it was kind of the same thing with ours because, you know, as you've probably seen, it's a different gate. It works differently. It looks different. And walking through it, we always kind of joked that we were losing our gate virginity. I'll admit there was part of me that hoped if I stepped through it that I would...
You'd actually be somewhere else.
Yeah, a little bit. I kind of hoped that maybe just the puddle wasn't real, but the gate itself was. And I could walk through it, but I don't want to ruin anything for anybody at home, but unfortunately, I was still on the Destiny.
Yeah, you ruined it for me. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, I signed a confidentiality waiver that said I'm not allowed to tell you that it's all real. Oops.
You just gave us a lot to think about. I have more fans' questions that they want to get out. So is there going to be a season two for sure of SGU?
Yeah, the official renewal came out a bit ago, so yeah, definitely going to be a season two, and the second half of season one starts airing relatively soon, I think.
That's good, we're really excited.
Yeah, sorry about the long break, I had nothing to do with it.
So, another fan question, did you ever meet or hang out with people from the other Vancouver shows like Sanctuary, Caprica, Supernatural?
Only in certain situations. as far as Sanctuary, you know, I've met Amanda Tapping on our set and doing a few other things, and she's always been so cool. Everyone seems to know each other in Vancouver, so we sometimes meet people socially. But the biggest place I've met everyone was a Comic-Con. All different shows kind of being together. Got to hang out with most of the cast of Battlestar. You know, really had some great conversations with James Callis and Grace Park, Katie Sackhoff and all them. And then just kind of along the way, you know, you have the same people or people know people. So you have little conversations with Josh Jackson or people from Friends or what have you.
That's
it's a cool little community up here.
Yeah, it sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
Pretty tight knit. Like a little community.
Yeah, it's really cool. You know, you're sitting in a bar, and the next thing you know, whoa. You're sitting in a bar, and the next thing you know, the whole cast of Psych walks in and just sits down and starts having drinks, you know?
Wow. Okay, so here's kind of a silly question. How do you keep that curly hair of yours under control? Is it like styling products and just hoping it doesn't rain, or what?
How do you know they don't curl my hair to make it look curly?
I don't know that.
You know, it seems like every time I book a job, they want my hair longer and longer and longer. And the longer it gets, the more unruly it gets. And I don't wish what the hair people have to go through on anyone. It's more of a process, and I like to admit, getting it to look the way it's supposed to. You should see it right now. I didn't even bring my hat, and I just look ridiculous.
I can sympathize with you because I'm Hispanic. I have ethnic hair, and if my hair gets wet, it poofs out like a Christmas tree. So I feel you, and I feel your pain.
It's naturally wavy. It's not even curly. It's just wavy. So if I don't do anything to it and there's a little bit of wind, people start throwing change at me because they probably think I'm homeless.
I doubt that. I doubt that very much. So the next episode of Stargate Universe that's coming out is going to be called Space, and that's going to be airing April 2nd, 9, 8 Central, right? Am I right?
I don't know the date and the time specifically, but it is Space.
That's the info that I have in front of me. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
It's Space, and if you're a new fan, you're going to love it just because it's something different. And if you're a fan of the previous shows, you're going to flip out, I think. Personally, I think.
Yeah, and I was a fan of the previous shows, and I did flip out. So I agree with you there. We're gonna let you go, but before we let you go, can we get a favor from you?
Uh-oh. You want me to strip, but we're on radio. How are you going to see it?
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, what's
so
up? What do you guys need?
We were just going to ask if you could do a little intro thing for us and say, this is David Blue, and you're listening to the VRO, but you can add your own little flair to it.
My own flair. That's so much pressure. Okay, let me think. Watch, everyone's going to cheer. Canada's going to score while I'm doing this. Okay, whenever you're ready.
Okay.
Oh, you're ready right now. Okay, I didn't realize.
Yep. Go okay. Right ahead.
Hey, this is David Blue, and you're listening to the VRO. Don't touch that dial, or I will throw my Stargate at you.
That was perfect. I think that's the best one we've had from anyone thus far.
Woohoo!
Perfect 10.
Well, thank you guys. It's been a lot of fun. I'm sorry I had to take a little break there.
That's okay. We really enjoyed talking to you.
Ditto. Hopefully we get to talk season 2 and talk about all the crazy stuff that's happening there.
Yeah, we want to know if Rush is going to get off that planet or not.
You'll see. Sorry about that. Just got to ask directions. Well, thank you guys. You're in for a treat with the second half of the season. You really are, I promise.
We're looking forward to it. Thanks a lot for talking to us.
Thank you. Have a nice night.
You too. Bye bye.
Bye.
Time you need auto parts and accessories, trust the parts professionals at the 42 Charlotte area O'Reilly Auto Parts store. Our professional parts people know what it takes to get the job done right. Professionals have counted on O'Reilly Auto Parts for decades. Now you can too. Professional parts people, O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Auto Parts.